The big question in business, with one hurdle cleared, when do we see the effects of the tax cut compromise?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A final Senate vote could come as early as today for the president's $800 billion tax cut deal. That's after it passed in an 83-15 preliminary vote yesterday. Then it's off to the House, where if the bill passes, taxpayers will see a couple of changes in their paychecks. Robert N. Williams is with the Tax Policy Center.
For most Americans, taxes next year will be very similar to this year. There are two major changes. One, the Making Work Pay Credit will disappear, but it will be replaced with a one-year reduction in the payroll taxes that fund Social Security. Now, the payroll tax reduction will increase people's take-home pay. Most people will see the larger paycheck every paycheck during the year.
Now, the tax compromise also extends a benefit to commuters that was part of last year's stimulus. Marketplace's David Gura has that.
The tax break gave commuters a new incentive to use mass transit. They could deduct up to $230 per month for bus rides, train fare, and van pools. Jay Winters is with the Center for Urban Transportation Research. He says studies have shown this kind of benefit does change how people behave.
There was an increase in transit ridership. In some cases, transit ridership more than doubled.
And that kind of growth can be even more valuable than building new infrastructure that doesn't create jobs right away. Rachel Weinberger is a professor at Penn.
Anytime you spend money on transit, that's money that stays in the local economy.
She says increased demand means bus drivers and maintenance workers keep their jobs, and they usually spend their money where they live. So, does it make sense to extend the tax benefit?
There's no downside. And if it actually is effective, then there's a potential tremendous upside.
Fewer cars on the road, less pollution, and more commuters using mass transit. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European and Asian markets are mixed. A mixed bag also on Wall Street yesterday, but the Dow ended the day up about 18 points. It closed at 11,428. Retail sales were up in November. The Commerce Department said today the holiday season started strong. A lot of that holiday shopping done online, of course, and department store JCPenney wants to turn Facebook fans into shoppers. It's one of the first major retailers to launch a web store inside Facebook. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Lady Gaga is one of the most popular people on Facebook with more than 10 million fans. Considering that Penney's is a mid-level department store, its fan base isn't too shabby either, with about a million. And it wants those fans to do their holiday shopping while they're updating their Facebook status. Penney's has created a web store inside the social network. Clay Shirky's a fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. He says this is a chance for retailers to quantify how much benefit they're getting from Facebook.
We've never really known what it means to be a fan of a brand like Penny, whether that translates into sales or not.
Shirky says the embedded site could also lower the hassle factor of buying stuff. Now, you don't even have to leave Facebook to do a little holiday shopping. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
Gordon Brown thinks the world can head off another financial crisis by operating from the same playbook. In his new book, Beyond the Crash, the former British Prime Minister, who also served as that country's Treasury chief, says the world's banks should adopt global standards for capitalization and regulation. He's with us now to give us his thoughts on the crisis and what can be done to thwart yet another one. Mr. Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
If you had to sum up what it was that started the economic spiral, what was it?
It was mainly a problem in the banking system, and the financial system crashed. It froze, and we've got to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. I would say that we need a global financial supervision and not simply national financial regulators.
Give me an idea of how crazy things were right after the collapse of Lehman Brothers.
What we had to do was try to get some agreement about what the coordinated response of the world was going to be, because this is not a national crisis. This wasn't simply subprime in America. This was banks freezing up across all parts of the world. But it was touch and go, because basically every country had a different analysis of its own problems. And in Europe, it was felt the problem was American, and therefore it was difficult to persuade the Europeans to act as quickly because they felt that they were only dealing with the consequences of something that was peculiarly an American problem.
You've said already there should be a certain global financial standard. But if that's the case, doesn't that make critics nervous about a so-called New World Order?
Well, when it came to 2009, people were happy to come together and take the action that was necessary. I'm saying in 2011 that we've got the prospects for Europe and America of a low growth and a high unemployment decade if nothing is done about it. And therefore, it makes sense to come together. It's a sort of new Marshall Plan that would bring the world together.
You call the debate over keeping government stimulus programs one of free market versus government in terms of living standards and morality. And you use the term moral imperative. Do you think the free market lacks morality?
I think the global financial institutions have got to recognize that they need underpinned by balancing off the need for enterprise and competition with being fair, being trustworthy, having integrity and showing responsibility. And, you know, it does come back to people's savings and whether you can get money out of the cash machine and whether you're going to be paid at the end of next week and what your house is worth and when you can be sure about what your job's prospects are. And these are the big issues that a banking failure can raise for millions of ordinary people around the world.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, a California prison inmate who detests salami was able to get it scrapped from his menu by claiming a unique holiday. Convicted drug dealer Malcolm King requested kosher meals at a jail in Orange County. Sheriff's officials reserve those meals for inmates who claim a religious reason. King's religious holiday? Festivus, which was created as an alternative to Christmas and Hanukkah by George Costanza's father on the TV sitcom Seinfeld.
A new holiday was born! A Festivus for the rest of us!
Indeed. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We've all gotten a bad gift or two, but did you ever stop to think about what they might be costing you?
To calculate the total loss in value of this candle to me, I would say that it took up 0.01% of my floor space. And when you multiply that by my rent and by 12 months, it comes out to $1.50 per year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of Holiday Gift Giving, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.